In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me a little while to preach your word. Anoint me, Lord, by your spirit. God, I pray that you'd anoint ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, and that you would strengthen us in these altars at the close of this service, and we'll give you the glory for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so many parallels in this first Passover message. You know, the children of Israel were about to pass out of Egypt. And in verse 2, if you keep your Bibles open there, I'm going to be referring back to these verses. But in verse 2 of this 12th chapter, it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." I don't know about you, but the Lord was telling them, "I'm fixing to give you a new beginning." I thank God for new beginnings. I thank God that He gives us opportunities sometimes to start over. Amen. I'm glad for the born-again experience. Amen. After the blood of Christ has been applied to our hearts and lives, we get a new beginning. And sometimes we have to go back. You know, Jacob had to go back to Bethel. He had to go back to that first experience. And sometimes we have to go back to that first experience as well. But I'm glad that it's available for us. The third verse there in Exodus chapter 12 says, "A lamb for the for a house." I'm thankful for the parallels of the Lamb of God. Jesus was called the Lamb of God, and I know there were a lot of sacrificial lambs, but Jesus was called the Lamb of God. In the beginning, it was a lamb for a man that was able. In Exodus, here is a lamb for a household. On the Day of Atonement, it was a lamb for a nation, and now it's the Lamb of God for whosoever will. I'm glad for the broadness of salvation. I'm glad that the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for that grace. The fifth verse says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." Amen. That means that he was to be taken and cut off in the prime of his life. Even Jesus was cut off in the prime of his life. It was a curse for a Jewish man not to have posterity, not to have those coming behind him. And Isaiah 53 and 8, it talks about there the Lord. It says he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? It said, you know, who is that going to be that's going to be declaring his seed after him? Who's going to follow and be his posterity? And it says, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. But in that messianic psalm, in Psalms chapter 22, in verse 30, it says, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted unto the Lord for a generation. Amen. Who's going to declare his generation? That's you. That's me. It said, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Verse 6 says that ye shall, talking about the lamb, it says ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Verse 3 tells us they took up the lamb on the 10th day, and they didn't kill it until the 14th day. This was done for the purpose of examination, to make sure the lamb being offered was spotless. They would examine the lamb every day of those 4 days, make sure there wasn't any fault in him. And you know, when they examined the Lord Jesus Christ before they crucified him, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife said, have thou nothing to do with this just man? The thief on the cross said, he's done nothing amiss. Judas said, I betrayed the blood of an innocent man. Amen. Even the demons that had possessed a man, in Luke 4:34 says, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Amen. His friends recognize his purity and his innocence. His foes recognize his purity and his innocence. Even the devils recognize his purity and innocence. Amen. In Exodus 12 and 11, it says, thus shall ye eat it, with the loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. They were to eat the Passover, amen, with the anticipation of passing out of Egypt and into Canaan's land. And when we take the communion, we should take it with the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Take us out of this world and into the kingdom of God. Amen. Where the Master once more will have sweet communion with his people. He told his disciples, I'm not going to eat or drink. He said, I'm not going to drink this cup again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 25 and 26, it says, when we drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm anticipating the coming of the Lord. Amen. The 12th verse of that 12th chapter says, I'm going to execute judgment. I am the Lord. But the 13th verse says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm thankful for the precious blood. Amen. Oh, that blood of the covenant today. That only blood that's recognized in heaven today. God, he pronounced the death penalty upon sin in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. He said but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. They disobeyed God, brought the death sentence upon the human race. But I'm glad that in chapter 3 that God promised a redeemer. Amen. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. Jesus Christ came and gave his blood to pay the penalty and take our place and pay the price that we owe. We owe the death penalty for our sins. Amen. But Christ's precious blood paid the penalty. This book, amen, that we read is a living book because the blood flows through it. Amen. From the Genesis, when God clothed the guilty pair in the Garden of Eden, until the Revelation. Amen. When John said unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. I'm thankful for the blood today. The blood is our motivation. For our motivation for separation from the world is the blood. Amen. Our motivation for ministry is the blood. Our motivation for doing things for God. Amen. I'm telling you, I appreciate people coming to God's house. But when I pastor, I tell them, I said, listen, if the only reason you come to church on Sunday is because you're afraid of that phone call you're going to get on Monday from me, man, that's the wrong motivation. Our motivation for everything we ought to do we do ought to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He suffered and bled and died on Calvary. I attend the house of God because of the blood. I work for the kingdom of God because of the blood. Any other motivation will fall short. Amen. If it's money, money may quit flowing. Amen. If it's pats on the back, they may stop. But we keep on going because of the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Amen. Oh, in the human body, there are different kinds of tissues. We define them as muscle and nerve and fat and gland and bone and connective tissues. And all these tissues have one thing in common. They're fixed cells, microscopically small, and they have a specific and limited function. But the blood is not like that. Unlike fixed tissues, the blood is fluid and mobile. That is not limited to one part of the body, but it's free to move throughout the entire body and supply the fixed cells with nourishment and carry off waste products called the ashes of cell activity, the process that we call metabolism. I'm thankful for the circulating blood. Amen. It's not a fixed tissue. It's mobile. It's flowing through the body of Christ today. Amen. In a normal human body, a little over 5 quarts of this blood is pumped by the heart. It circulates through the system about every 60 seconds, sometimes less. Amen. But it nourishes every cell in the body. And that's why that we need the precious blood flowing through our lives. Amen. To nourish the body of Christ. Amen. Constantly supplied and cleansed at the same time as in constant communication with every other cell in that body. This blood being one of the most mysterious of all tissues, being composed of scores of elements and compounds and strange chemical bodies whose function is not yet fully understood, but all which has to do with the mystery of life, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Because of the virgin birth, the blood of Christ was not contaminated with Adam's sin. It was divine blood. That's why the deity of Christ is so important. Amen. Because it's divine blood. If there's no divine blood, then there's no divine salvation. Amen. But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ was divine blood. Amen. It wasn't contaminated with Adam's sin. Amen. When we're born again, that divine blood does a work of cleansing in our heart. Not only does the divine blood cleanse, but it nourishes. Just as the circulating blood carries food to every cell in the human body, the circulating blood of Christ feeds the soul of man. Amen. When the blood quits circulating, there's a problem. Amen. It could be a heart problem. It could be blockages in different things. Amen. The Bible describes and talks about a hard heart, a cold heart, an overgrown heart. The blood not circulating properly because of those blockages. Amen. That's why that we need to get them taken care of. If we don't feel the blood circulating, if we don't feel in our soul that the Lord is blessing us and helping us, amen, that's what the altar's for, is to take care of the blockages so the precious blood can flow again. Amen. I'm telling you, we were sinners and Christ bore our sins on Calvary. We were under the curse of God and He became a curse for us. We were under the wrath of God, but Christ endured the wrath of God on Calvary so that we would not have to endure the wrath of God throughout all eternity. We had the death sentence upon us, but Christ died in our place. And He said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me shall never die. Amen. We were rebels against God and we deserved to die. But Jesus suffered a death on the cross so that we could live on throughout all eternity. I'm thankful for the cross today. Amen. I'm talking about the cross of redemption. Amen. One man preached on three crosses on Calvary's hill. The cross of rejection. The cross of reception. And the cross of redemption. Amen. I'm thankful for the cross of redemption. Amen. The one that sculptors have tried to commemorate in marble. Amen. The one where Jesus showed His love to us. Where He satisfied the law and secured our liberty. Amen. The one that martyrs have clung to in the fire and the flood. And through starvings and stonings and Christians that have laid quietly dying on their bed and rested their head on on the pillar of the cross of Christ's redemption and then expand the gulf between time and eternity. Amen. Lay hold on that cross, friend. I tell you, young people, you need to get a grip on the cross this morning. I know every time that, you know, in a backsliding, it seems like it's at epidemic proportions. And a lot, and the first thing people say, well, this person done this or this done that or listen, amen, our motivation is the Lord Jesus Christ. People will fail you. Money will fail you. I know people, you know, I've talked to them, and I said, well, what do you want to do in life? They say, I want to live the American dream. The American dream may fail you. It may turn into a nightmare. Amen. But Jesus never fails. People may fail. Systems may fail. Money may fail, but brother, when the world's on fire, amen, Jesus will still prevail. Amen. I want to tell you, lay hold on that cross. Never loosen your grip. Everything else in life may fail you, but the cross of redemption will carry you across the dark waters into that bright city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Oh, I know that He was typified in the coats of skin that God made a covering for Adam and Eve. He was a more excellent sacrifice that was typified by Abel's lamb. He's a shelter from the flood of God's judgment typified by Noah. Ark. He is the only begotten well-beloved son that was typified by Isaac, and he was the substitutionary ram that was caught in the thicket. He's the Passover lamb that was the protection from the death angel when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. I like what they said, you know, when Christ was on the cross and they were talking to him, and they hollered at him, and he said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. Oh, if thou be the Christ, ask the stars that the Heavenly Father ordained to lead the wise men to Jesus if he's the Son of God. Ask the shepherds that knelt at his crib in that manger on the greatest night in history if he's the Son of God. Ask the lepers that he cleansed, the dead that he raised, the wounded that he made whole if he's the Son of God. Amen. One man said, the flowers breathe it. The angels are continually around the throne proclaiming it. And all the redeemed men of centuries sing it around the throne day and night. Amen. Yes, he's the Son of God. And he reigns in the affairs of men today. We who were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. We enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. The high priest in the Old Testament had to wait and see if his sacrifice was accepted. But the great high priest could stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, Father, I know that you always hear me. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. Amen. The blood, amen, that the high priest offered could never put away sin. But the great high priest offered his own precious blood. The book says in Hebrews 12 and 24, says that it's better blood than that of Abel. It was sinless blood. It was saving blood. Amen. But it was also speaking blood. The blood of Abel called for retribution, but the blood of Christ called for redemption. Abel's blood cried from the ground, the wages of sin is death. But the blood of Jesus Christ calls from the eternal throne, saying the gift of God is eternal life. It's the incorruptible, eternal, divine, sinless, overcoming, precious blood. It availed for the dying thief, and it still avails for whosoever will. Amen. Let him come. Take of the water of life freely. I think about different blood banks where blood is stored for future use. Additives are put into it, and they're coming up with new additives to make it last longer. Amen. But over time, it can become contaminated. Amen. But God opened a blood bank on Calvary's hill, and into that bank went the divine blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It suits every type. It cures all the diseases of the soul. It's available to whosoever will, and it comes free of charge. You know, when a blood transfusion is given, amen, it is in the case that some people have a loss of blood or a disease in the blood, that the contaminated blood is replaced there. The blood of a healthy individual is put into the veins of the one suffering, and life is sustained. I'm telling you, sin poisoned the bloodstream of the human race, but the greatest transfusion of all time happens when a person puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the contamination of sin is replaced with the blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. Oh, that old song says there's power in the blood. There is power in the blood today. Power to cleanse and cover every stain. Power to save from sin and sustain the spiritual life that it starts. Power to redeem and reconcile. Power to save. Power to sanctify. Amen. Power to seal. Power to give you a new song and present you spotless before the throne of God. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that it's available for whosoever will. Amen. It's just up to us to take advantage of it. Amen. I want you to know that we need to stop long enough. You know, the devil, he likes to get us so busy that we don't stop long enough to look at the big picture. I was talking to a gentleman just the other day. I had a neighbor, and I was talking to him about some land that my brother had sold him. And I said, I'd like to buy that land back off of you. And, of course, he was kind of a practical joker type guy. He never would give anybody a straight answer. And he said, son, my dad told me to get land, not sell land. And I said, yeah. I said, I could tell you pretty much own, you know. Guy said, I don't want all the land in the world, just what joins mine. And praise the Lord. But I remember he quit joking for a little while because he's getting on up in age. And tears trickled down his face, and he said, Mike, he said, the only land I've been thinking about here lately is that 2x6. He said, about where I'm fixing to go when this thing is over. And I'm telling you, we need to take time to think this morning about what's going to happen to us when this life is over. Isn't that what Amos said? And in chapter 4, he said, prepare to meet thy God. I mean, you know, we prepare for everything else sometimes except for that great judgment day. In that judgment day when God makes a careful search of the hearts of men, our philosophies and excuses will seem as straw upon the ocean. When the foundations of the earth are being removed and the heavens are rolling up like a scroll and the firmament melts with a fervent heat and the judgment flames, amen, burning throughout the whole earth. Amen, we're only going to be looking for one eternal refuge, and that is the Rock of Ages. Amen. We have a decision to make in our hearts and lives. Some people say, well, I don't really want to make a decision. Well, the problem with that is it's impossible to do that. We have to either confess him or deny him, because Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There's some things we're going to have to do with Jesus. We have to confess him or deny him. Sister, if you'd help me, I'm getting ready to close. We must accept him or reject him, because everyone that does not accept him essentially rejects him. Amen. And we have to let him into our heart, or we have to shut him out. In Revelation 3:19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be ye zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So we either have to confess him or deny him. We have to accept him or reject him. We have to either shut him out or let him in. Amen. I trust that it be your desire to let him in. We need a full commitment from the Lord today. I'm reminded this morning of a story that Brother Taylor told me. There was a gentleman in the hospital, and Brother Taylor had went to visit him, and he told Brother Taylor, he said, "Brother Taylor," he said, "I promised a man down at the salvage yard. Matter of fact," he said, I sold him a truck, but he said, "I hadn't been able to get it to him because I've been in the hospital." He said, "Could you get that old truck down there to that man at the salvage yard?" And Brother Taylor said, "Yeah, I can get it down there to him." And so Brother Taylor said, "I took the old truck down there," and he said, "The guy that was there, he's happy to see it." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "you're not going to know this truck when I get through with it." He said, "I'm going to put it back all original." He said, I'm going to take it all apart. He said, I'm going to fix it up nice. And he said, "Well, that'd be good." He said, "I'd like to see it." And he said, "Yeah," he said, "it'll be nice." Brother Taylor said, "I turned to walk out the door." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I need you to do one more thing for me." He said, "Whenever you see that man again, tell him that I need the title of that truck, because I really don't want to start working on it till I know for sure that I own it." And I thought about that, how that, you know, that's the way it is in our life, how many good things the Lord wants to do. Young people, I've been where you're at. I'm on the other side of it. I'm not old yet. I'm just 51. But I've seen a lot of young people. I want to tell you, this is the best life to live for time and in eternity. Amen. What you need to do today, amen, is you need to come and lay the title to your life on the altar of prayer and say, "Lord, I'm yours. You can start to work anytime you want to." And I'll tell you, you'll be amazed at what God can do with your life if you lay the title in His hand. Would you stand with me here this morning? Praise the Lord. You're here and you say, "I'm thankful for the precious blood. And I really need to lay the title on the altar this morning and say, Lord, I need you to start to work on me right now. I need the precious blood circulating in my life. I need the precious blood cleansing. I need the precious blood nourishing. I need you helping me today, Lord." Amen. As somebody, you'd step out and say, "I really need this morning. I really need the Lord to work in my life. I really need the Lord to help me right here this morning." Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, saints. Our motivation is the blood of Christ. Could you see Him there on Calvary's hill? Amen. Taking that unjust punishment for you and me. That's our motivation for everything we do. The precious blood, it cleanses this morning. I'd like everybody that would, let's come. Let's lay the title on the altar today and say, "Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm ready for you to start working." Amen.